It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio in Chicago. As we move into March, boy, it'll be nice to maybe see what has been a profoundly cold February put in the rearview mirror. What I'm going to talk with about this morning is related, actually, to the spring thaw that is imminent. And it goes something like this. What happens if your neighbor up the street decides that they want to empty their bathtub and all of their water into the street, and you are directly downgrade from them? That's what's going on with Wisconsin and Illinois. And what I'm referring to is a lawsuit that is pending now, and more than a lawsuit, a lot of political action that's pending between Lake County in Illinois and the state of Wisconsin, because it is now public information that when Foxconn made their deal to come to the state of Wisconsin and build their $10 billion LCD plant in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin, that promised to create some 13,000 jobs and $4 billion in incentives, that's a lot of money, and it was the largest public subsidy to a foreign company in U.S. history, the deal included, and here's where the analogy to somebody emptying their water on the street above you comes in. The deal included an agreement to exempt Foxconn from environmental regulations. The company was allowed to fill wetlands without a permit and skip normal requirements to produce an environmental impact statement. The issue with this is Foxconn is up at the headwaters of the Des Plaines River. So all of you who live along the Des Plaines River and are subject to Des Plaines River flooding in Illinois are now subject to a, basically, it can only be described as a politically corrupt deal to damage Illinois for the benefit of Foxconn and anybody in that area, with no consequences or thought to what would happen when Foxconn is able to fill wetlands on a very large site and simply put that water straight into the Des Plaines River. So, Lake County Board, the Stormwater Management Commission that oversees Lake County, and several municipalities have approved resolutions opposing the decisions that were made to benefit Foxconn because of the downstream impacts in the Des Plaines River watershed. As you may recall, in July 2017, we had the largest floods in history as a result of monsoon-type rains in southern Wisconsin, and they came right down the Des Plaines River and wiped out millions of dollars worth of property value, not to mention virtually closing all the east-west roads across northern Lake County. So you could travel north and south in Lake County, but you could not go east and west. 176 was closed, 120 was closed, 137 was closed, 173 was closed, Route 60 was closed. So that occurred before there was Foxconn. Now, it's not to say that Foxconn is going to be the result of the next biggest flood. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say, and am saying, in fact, is how is it that one state can permit a company to simply skip the environmental regulations that are in place, where you or I, as a private landowner, if we lived in Wisconsin, believe me, they tie you up in knots when it comes to trying to do anything to drain wetlands or alter watersheds. However, in the case of Foxconn, because they promised such a financial windfall to southeast Wisconsin, the environment doesn't matter, and nor do the people, apparently, who live downstream of Foxconn matter. So all of us in Lake County in Illinois, and if you think about the watershed all the way down, we have all been impacted, whether the Des Plaines goes into the Illinois goes into the Mississippi, etc. We have all been impacted by upstream actions. And if I had Donald Hay on the phone this morning, with who's been a longtime head of the Wetlands Initiative and really the leading water expert in the country on flood impacts, he would simply tell you that this is just one example. It's one drop in the bucket of thousands of drops in the bucket, which are causing this catastrophic flooding. So Illinois Senators Durbin and Duckworth, along with congressmen from the district in northeastern Illinois, Brad Snyder, have sent a letter to Governor Evers of Wisconsin asking him to reverse what's been done and asking him to put in place, and I quote, stringent environmental review, especially with consideration of stormwater management. So we'll see what happens. Durbin says we are going to hold their feet to the fire and make sure that Wisconsin is getting the best return. Governor Walker of Wisconsin said, when the deal was made with Foxconn, we are going to hold their feet to the fire, and we are going to make sure that Wisconsin is getting the best return on investment possible. End of quote. Well, he obviously never discussed the return to the people of Illinois, which is Wisconsin's water, Foxconn's water. And again, it's not just Foxconn, it's the entire watershed. We're all linked together. What we do in Lake County, or what we do in Chicago, impacts individuals in Peoria and St. Louis and New Orleans. What Foxconn and the people in Wisconsin do impacts us. And just simply skipping environmental regulations because they're inconvenient is a breakdown in the entire system that we have. And if those of you who listen to the show for a long time know, I am not a friend of the EPA. I am not a friend of overregulation. I am a friend of having the laws that are in place to provide responsible water and land management be enforced. We have been overzealous in so many cases, particularly with agriculture, where we have tried to enforce environmental laws that did not apply to that area. This is not a case of not applying. This is a case of just simply subverting the law that exists, one state saying to another, you don't matter. And in the case of Illinois, we do matter, and Wisconsin's about to find out how much we matter. So Lake County has a really legitimate reason to be upset with what happened with Foxconn. If it sets a precedent for other things, it only is going to compound the amount of flooding damage that we have in Illinois. So hopefully Wisconsin backpedals, which Foxconn is just now beginning to break ground, and maybe we can make them actually comply with the laws rather than giving them a government subsidy and then subverting the laws. I'll be back with more of the Great Outdoors Show in just a moment. And when I do, I want to talk about a really unbelievable law that's working its way through the Oregon legislature. I also want to pay homage to Representative John Dingell, who passed away recently, who was one of the great icons we'll ever have in the conservation movement. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message from our longtime sponsors at Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them, and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And as we do from time to time, we pick up pieces of legislation that are either absurd or have profound impacts on our ability to enjoy what we do in the outdoors. And once again, we have to look to the west, or to the left, as some people like to say, to Oregon, which has introduced a bill that could end field trial hunting and hunt tests. It is a bill called Senate Bill 723. And the bill says basically this, and it seems hard to believe. The Oregon bill would prohibit coyote hunting contests and would eliminate field trials and dog training events that utilize game birds. Senate Bill 723 would ban events that have the objective of taking wildlife for prizes or other inducement or for the purposes of entertainment. So the bill would ban any event where dogs compete or are trained using game birds, where prizes, ribbons, rankings, medals, trophies, cash are awarded. So basically, what they're trying to do in Oregon is they're trying to end hunt testing, field testing for dogs. And hunters depend, as you all know, on dogs to retrieve game. The most prominent and popular way that retrievers of all breeds are trained is to go into field trials. That's how they learn. You can't throw a stone in a bush and teach a dog to go get it, and then expect when you actually take the dog out hunting and there's a pheasant in that bush that the dog knows the difference between the stone he was taught to look for and the pheasant that flushes. So Oregon, this is just so nonsensical, but it is exactly what we face almost on a daily basis, certainly on a weekly basis, in the sporting community, where ill-informed individuals decide to put their own agenda forward without any scientific basis, understanding of the implications, or maybe if they do understand the impacts, they want to ignore them. And in the case of the field trial business, it's been around since America was founded. Field trials literally go back to the very beginning of this country. And today, field trials and hunt tests are the backbone of the dog community, the hunting dog community. And so Oregon, by doing this, is basically saying we don't believe you should be able to do that. So its focus is on coyote contests, but there is a much more, frankly, sinister impact to this bill behind it. And coyote contests, for those in Oregon who may be listening, which is probably nobody this morning, but you can podcast this show, coyotes have overrun the American West, the Midwest, and the East. Their populations are at levels far beyond where they ever historically were. They are a serious predator on game birds, as well as deer. Coyote populations across America are trying to be controlled because of their overpopulation. Here in Chicago, we have coyotes throughout the city of Chicago. They're living with us. They've adapted to humans. So the attempts across America to reduce coyote populations are based upon restoring some kind of a balance in nature. And in the case of Oregon, they have competitive hunts for coyotes, and prizes are awarded. And apparently, that's offended many people in the legislature, so they would rather end this practice than have it go on. And while they're doing this, they're ensnaring the all the other legitimate efforts that are taking place, such as field trials for dogs, so and hunt tests for dogs. So I'm afraid that what we're seeing in Oregon is probably not the first and only time we're going to see this, but it's an example, again, of where misinformed individuals take legislative action that should be taken by, in this case in Oregon, the Department of Natural Resources, the Fish and Game Agency, not some politician. But whether this bill passes or not, it continues to be a wake-up call of the assault that wildlife management is under. There's a reason they have coyote hunting contests in Oregon. There are too many coyotes. And the legislature wants to make that illegal, while also just taking everything that has contests with it. So we'll let you know what happens as this moves forward, but it is indeed, it's really not good news at all. And It's an example of the legislative overreach. We see it all the time. Last thing I want to talk about this morning is the passing of an individual who was an icon in the conservation industry. That individual is John Dingell from Michigan, who served, believe it or not, in the U.S. House of Representatives for 59 years. We do hear about term limits. We hear about people being in office for too long a period of time. I'm one of those individuals who thinks that everyone has their time and then they should move on. John Dingell's record would offer that maybe that's not always true. There are exceptions to the rule. I did have the pleasure of meeting Congressman John Dingell when he was very much in the height of his abilities and game when he was in Congress. He was the force for conservation, and we have lost in Congress, frankly, well, I believe that the strongest voice for conservation, probably since Theodore Roosevelt was president. John Dingell sat on the Migratory Bird Commission for 50 years. That's the commission that oversees the federal duck stamp. He was the most stalwart supporter of the federal duck stamp, making sure that the U.S. government did not get their fingers into the pie and take the money that was provided by waterfowl hunters and meant for waterfowl conservation and be used for something else. The federal duck stamp is, as a result, the most successful federal program there is because there is no government overhead allowed to be taken from the federal duck stamp program. And I've said this before, if you really want to help conservation, go buy a federal duck stamp. 100% of your money goes to creating habitat for wetlands and waterfowl. He also was the architect of the Endangered Species Act, and I'm sure many of you listening are going, oh no, please, that's one of the worst laws we've ever had. Well, the Endangered Species Act, created in 1972 by then-Congressman Dingell and then-President Richard Nixon, was not one of the worst things we've ever done. What's happened to it since then has been one of the worst things politically. The Endangered Species Act was very narrow in its writing, narrow in its scope. It was to protect species that were endangered to try to bring them back. Since then, obviously, the Endangered Species Act has morphed into this thing where it's in everything you do in life in the outdoors and in agriculture. But John Dingell was the architect of saying, we've got to save bald eagles, we've got to save species, let's create a way to do it. So the original Endangered Species Act, which Congressman John Dingell authored, was one of the great conservation tools of its time. So his passing is leaving Congress with a big hole. And yes, he retired before he died, but Congressman John Dingell was the giant for over 50 years, a half a century in Congress, for the voice of conservation in the outdoors. He's going to be sorely missed. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more on the great outdoors. I hope that you have a good start to the month of March. And please, if you're going ice fishing, it happens every year, watch the ice. Even though it's been very cold, ice has a way of going soft and rotten in places you don't expect. And it's the one time of the year now as we move into spring where we really worry about that. So thanks for being with me. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago in America, 720 WGN.